So what does it mean? Jesus, or Christ, died for our sins. First of all, Jesus, or Christ. Make up your mind. These two are not the same thing. Jesus of Nazareth and Christ, the Greek translation from Hebrew, Messiah. Historically, for the Jews, this Messiah was a promised descendant of David, a temporal figure, a political leader, a great king to again establish the golden age of the Israelites. We are not concerned with that Messiah. We are concerned with the Christ, as the term became, and what this Christ is. Messiah, literally the anointed one, from a ritual of anointment with holy oil in ascension to the throne. We are not concerned with these rituals. We are also not concerned with the Jewish tradition of kings. Jesus himself was very clear in stating that he was not the king of this world. He was the king of heaven, where the anointment of a political Messiah is of one kind, of oil made of your plants and herbs. Surely the anointment of the king of heaven is of a different order, not an anointment with the oils of earth, but an anointment with celestial spirit. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ that we understand. Then, Christ or Jesus, who is it that died for our sins? And what even are these sins? Such are the questions. When Jesus of Nazareth, the human, or anyone who testifies to the truth of what is, dies for our sins, this is once lived and this is once died. They bear the burden of the sins of the world they live in, the lies, the illusions, speak of it, speak against it, and for this they are crucified, they are otherwise ended. And that is the measure of that. Remember, repent, be grateful for the example they set, pay attention to their message. In this you have no eternal salvation. Then we have Messiah, the Christ, anointed in spirit, the crown of heavens, who lived through a human vehicle, died on the cross, concluded at the life cycle, said, "It is done, it is finished," ascended to heaven, and from heaven shall descend again. This is not someone or something that dies for your sins. However, it does bring you salvation, absolution, from your blindness, from your ignorance, your separation. The body of Christ, the churches to whom the Spirit talks in the Revelation, these are not buildings in the material world, nor are they a representation of the physical body of Jesus. These are the domains, the stations of our life cycle, the archetypes of our awareness, each domain of awareness. Each station of your living presence holds its virtues, purity, and holds its sins born of separation. This liminal body of Christ in each and every one of us, these stations of our awareness, they are our work sites, they are the churches we build and we maintain in order to make us pure and holy through and through. As they are refined, as they are purified, as each of our churches reaches for union to be consummated in the light of the Christ, the churches as separate establishments crumble down. With this, the body of Christ crumbles down. There is death to separation. There is death to the hosts of sins. The churches are no longer in separation. The churches of our earth are now churches of heaven. What once was the body of earth has become the body of heaven. This is the death to the world and resurrection, ascension to the kingdom of heaven. Then, in summary, we have the human who dies to the sins of his times, bearing the burdens of the world, testifying to truth, and for that he is nailed to the cross. Of that, there is no salvation forever and ever. However, present in him is Christ, anointed from heaven, the descent of the crown divine. What he illustrated, what he embodied, what he held to a point of death. This anointment, the Christ of heaven, the celestial crown, is the Redeemer, is your absolution. In this descent of the Spirit of purity, of divine clarity, in the radiant truth of the fabric of existence itself, your alignment with it, your surrender to it, in this you will find your salvation, your ascension. This principle and archetype of Christ never dies. Its many expressions in countless vessels, they die for your sins, for their sins, whatever the context be. But salvation is not brought to us by human sacrifice. We find salvation in clarity and purity as we forsake our sins and our ignorance. Then let the believers believe as they may. Let the theologians debate to a point of exhaustion. These principles are clear and they stand to direct experience.